something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, listeners. This is Parenting as a Joke. I'm an eye twitch named Ophira Eisenberg. Have you had an eye twitch before? Oh my God. What? Help me. So we're almost done with April. It has been a juggle. Oh my goodness, for me and for our team, because we all have completely different April school vacations, but we've almost made it. We've almost made it. Oh my goodness. So this is my week to take a week off with my son on school vacation. How many snacks will we eat? So we're in a big snack moment right now because my kid is just hungry all the time. He comes home from school, he wants a snack, and if he has activity, he wants another snack before going to the activity, but then he wants another snack before dinner, and my husband, who primarily makes the dinners, doesn't like it when he eats a snack before dinner because then he doesn't eat his dinner, but he usually eats his dinner more or less anyhow, just slower. So there was a no snack rule before dinner, but then he would just be freaking out, and I was talking to Julie, the producer of this podcast, about this snack argument we're having in our house. Snack argument. Just sounds different. So dumb when I say it. And she said, no, like, really, just you got to pick your battles. Let him have the snacks. And so I said to my husband, we're doing it. We're just saying yes to all snacks all the time. Because you know what? Our kid, you know, he eats pretty well. He's not just one of these, like, butter noodle kids. He'll eat carrots and vegetables and a bazillion pirate's booty in between. You know what I'm talking about, that puff. So now it's snacks all the time. We're allowing snacks all the time with the meals. And let me tell you, it is food. It is food all the time. This kid is just the vacuum cleaner. We can't even keep up. Like, basically going to the grocery store every 2 days and reloading on, like, apples, pretzels, popcorn, grapes. What else are we going through? Freeze-dried apricots or whatever that is. You know, raisins. Just ongoing. From 2 to bedtime, this kid just eats snacks. It's crazy. And you know what? I'll tell you something. When I get home from a gig at 10 p.m., I open up a little snack myself. I'm like, oh, there's pretzels in little tiny bags. I'm excited. So with this in mind, we thought, you know what? Let's revisit someone else I talked to about snacks, comedian and actress Kristen Schaal. So here's a wonderful interview with Kristen Schaal, and we'll be back next week, everybody. I'm so excited for my guest. We knew each other a bit in New York. She now lives in Los Angeles. You know her as the voice of Louise Belcher on Bob's Burgers. She also played Mel on Flight of the Conchords. And you get to see her later in the summer in the new season of What We Do in the Shadows. It's Kristen Schaal. Hi.
Hi, Ophir. You nailed that intro.
Just to start, Kristen, what is the name and age of your child?
Ruby, and she's five.
Five. Okay.
Graduating preschool in a couple weeks.
Oh,
Yeah.
And they're going to give her a little cap?
I don't think so. It's a Jewish preschool. I think they're going to do Shabbat or something.
Oh, that's nice. It's going to be like a little bat mitzvah primer.
Yeah.
What is she into these days?
She has a stuffy named Brian, who's a cat, who's like her best friend. She's an only child. I call Brian my other child. And Brian's a girl cat. Okay. Brian goes everywhere with us, everywhere, and is very important. Like, it's hard to give Brian a bath because that means they're separated while Brian dries. And she's really just into her imagination. Like she has a lot of toys because I spoil her.
Yep.
Probably to a damaging place. And she just wants to pretend to be like an animal. The story she's into now is that she's like a leopard named Night Scream, who has been adopted by a villain named Evil Animal Trainer, who wants her to defeat Spider-Man.
It's a lot of different genres involved in this.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man's a bad guy.
Well, Spider-Man's a good guy. So she's kind of torn as this animal where she's being trained by an evil animal trainer. That's the backstory. And it's very important to her.
Okay. So it's a little Star Wars, a little bit of the Dark Force.
Yeah.
And so when you hear all this stuff, do you kind of revel in it? Are you like, my creative child? This is amazing.
Of course. Like, that's the thing. I'm like, yay. She's like really deep into her imagination. Like, because we traveled a lot during COVID because I had some jobs in Canada. So she really was kind of like, she didn't have a lot of toys. So it was just like, she just sort of had or friends or anything. So it was up to her to create her fun. But I always kind of get left out of the storyline. Like, just recently, I was Animal Trainer's wife because my husband's Animal Trainer. And that was like, she didn't have a lot going on for her. And she's really like, if I pitch, it kind of has to come from her head. So if I try to, she's really bad at improv. Okay.
No yes anding in your house.
Not at all. Instead of whatever I'm assigned. I just got assigned to be Evil Animal Trainer's sister, Jacaranda. And she has an evil jaguar named Alba. And so that finally felt like something for me to do, to participate.
A meaty role.
So I was excited. But most of the time I'm tired and I'm an old mom and I feel like, I pretend for a living, girl. You know, like, I'm done tonight.
Go write it down. Go write it down. So you're in LA right now, but you grew up in Colorado. Big town, little town?
Little town.
Little town.
Yeah. Like, so little that I say it's by Boulder.
What was the place you grew up like?
Longmont was just a suburb. It was pretty boring. It's better now. You know, yeah. Colorado in general was also like kind of going through its teenage years when I was growing up. And now they're like kind of got their own personality. I mean, they were like, we like pot. Hey, everybody.
Right.
Where did you grow up?
Calgary, Alberta.
You're a Canadian lady.
Yeah. You know, people are always like, Alberta is the Texas of Canada because it's an oil-based industry. And there's like kind of that redneck culture because there's a lot of logging and those kind of industries. But Denver, because there's also skiing, and Denver has all of that in skiing. And so we always kind of were like, no, we're like Denver.
Oh, you poor thing. Yeah. I've been working a lot in Toronto and a little bit in Vancouver, but I'm sorry, but Alberta is very like shat upon.
Despised. Despised. But I mean, I will say as a child, I mean, it was a pretty nice place to grow up. Felt, you know, very just calm and safe and pretty outdoor space.
Yeah.
And never really thought twice, except for I personally didn't know a lot of Jews. So I felt very different.
I also never knew a Jewish person growing up until I moved to Chicago.
Really? In elementary school or anything, did you describe what it was to be Jewish to your friends when they were like, what are you?
I was half German, like Lutheran.
Oh!
My kid went to preschool because it's like one of the best preschools. And
oh, that's hilarious. I thought, I put it all together in a different way. I didn't know.
He magazine interviewed me once just thinking I might be Jewish.
They're like, fingers crossed, fingers crossed.
The record scratched when I said something about Christmas. And they were like, wait, what? And I was like, wait, why? What? I did order the Ancestry DNA test, though, because my mom's side of the family is still a little bit, like, blurry. Like,
yeah. And?
I haven't done it yet. It's in my drawer. I will do it. Because I really kind of am holding out hope. But I was raised super Christian, watched him die on the cross on Good Friday.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
All of that.
So the full Star Wars myth.
Yes. And I was so nervous when I told my dad, they're so religious that I was, you know, I'm like, guess what? You know, Ruby's going to this amazing Jewish preschool. And it was lovely because they were actually really excited about it because, you know, it's still the Old Testament.
Yeah. Still same book series.
Yeah.
Just the first issue.
And they're like, great. And we love Moses and we love Jewish songs. And they are really nice songs. So
that's all right. Yeah. Yeah. Old Testament. Exactly. My name is from like page 5. I'm not even kidding you. Next time you open up an Old Testament, everybody, look through those baguette bagats. You'll get to me.
You're the only other Ophira I know besides page 5.
Did you always want to have kids? I know you have one kid, but have a child in your life?
I think so. I, you know, that was sort of the thing where I was like, to have it all, you have a kid, kids, you know, that was the goal. And it was always something that I wasn't going to let go. I knew I always wanted a husband more than I thought I wanted a kid. I was like, I got to get that husband, which is still feminist. And then that was very important to me. When we were trying, it was a whole disaster over and over again. And then we did IVF, but it was like Indiana Jones grabbing the hat before the, like, wall comes down, like, we got it!
So I've heard you talk about having an ectopic pregnancy, which I think many listeners know, but if you don't, that is when a fertilized egg grows outside of the uterus. Usually it's in the fallopian tubes, which can be very dangerous.
Oh, it was. And one just like regular old miscarriage with the DNC.
Me too. And then back out in the world. See you later, sister.
Yeah, back to the party. And then I had this ectopic, and it was misdiagnosed by a gynecologist who was not paying attention.
No.
She even did like a ultrasound. She's like, oh, looks like you're ovulating again. Well, that was the egg embryo growing. And so it was bad. And I was probably 3 months or more, and it burst when I was recording Gravity Falls. It's the weirdest thing ever because I was like saying like a Mabel line and then I was like, bleh. And I remember Alex was like, you ain't taking that again. I was like, yes, right? That was bad.
Oh my gosh.
And I didn't know what was going on. And I just knew I needed to lay down on the floor and then like ended up in the ER and still didn't know why, but I was there for long enough that I almost died because they were taking all these other patients first and I internally bled like 2 liters.
Holy shit.
And then I lived. And then I went back to work like 4 days later on
last
Earth. And no one told anybody what was going on because it was a, you know, my personal female miscarriage.
Right.
So like if I had my appendix out, everyone would know and they'd be careful and they'd understand why I was pale. But now everyone didn't know. And I was just like, oh, don't put my mic pack there. Like, it was so dumb. Anyways, and I was fine.
It's just, I mean, just with women's health. It's like anything, uterus, vagina. It's like, well, this needs to be shrouded in secrecy. Let's just watch this woman in pain. And maybe we can just decide that she's in pain because, you know, it's menstrual cramps or something like that, which we also don't want to talk about.
I was like, I wish you guys would have made an announcement. It's not a big deal. It's actually this thing that was huge. Like, we should all know about it. And then after that, I was like, we tried for a while. I was like, listen, I have one tube left. I want to get it in the right place if this happens. So we did IVF, got one embryo for one round and got Ruby. And then I was so in love with Ruby. I was like, oh, let's do it again. And then I had an ectopic on the other side.
Okay.
But they caught it early because I had a new gynecologist, thank God. And they were like, okay.
I hope so.
Yeah, no, I was so mad at her. And this gynecologist, she was like, caught it right away and was like, okay, so I took these, it's like a low-key chemo drug that like basically kills it in the tube. I wish I would have just gotten my tube removed because it was really weird. And I had to go back and do Bill and Ted. And I had to go on my lunch breaks, find a Quest Diagnostics in New Orleans to make sure that the baby was dying. Like, like you have to make sure your pregnancy hormone levels are going lower and lower.
Yep. I went through that because I had a partial molar pregnancy, so it's the same thing. So you have to get blood tests every week to look at your hormone levels. And just to pause, I don't know how you were mentally, but I was never more out of my brain. Dysregulated, let's say.
Let's say. It's so sad. I was playing a person from the future. So I had like silver dress, silver makeup, weird hair. And I was like on my lunch break, like asked the PA, like, I just need to go get a quick blood test. Jesus. And I remember like the woman in the Quest Diagnostics was like in a bad mood.
They're all in a bad mood.
I know, dude. It was so sad. And it was like, and also I didn't tell anybody on that one either because it was so new and I didn't know anyone that well. That was gross. And after that, I gave up and I was like, we're just having one. And what a price.
You know, just apropos, I relate to so much of this through my own, you know, health, different health things. And also, I didn't tell anyone. And I don't know how you feel about that in hindsight.
Yeah, there is a bit of a blankness to people, too, because it is like, that's the problem. First of all, you don't know how long you're going to be sitting with the feelings. So you're like, well, if I'm going to be over this in like a week or a few weeks, maybe I just like deal with it on my own and not like bring it up.
Right.
But, you know, like, can I just be normal because life is so abnormal on the outside? I don't know. It's weird. And then when you do bring it up to certain people, the reactions you get are varied.
And nothing is worse to me than when you feel like you have to take care of them.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Which is what women do.
That's what women do. Yeah, note to everyone, I also had an OBGYN that misdiagnosed me. And I remember when I got the right diagnosis, and this was with cancer. So when I got the right diagnosis, I yelled at her. I mean, I called and waged a complaint. And I'll tell you what she did. She gave me back my copay.
$25?
Yeah, I got $25 back.
Oh, my God. That is... Well, good for you. I'm glad. Did you feel like the release, at least? Did you feel good?
I felt complete closure with that $25.
I did like a Yelp, like a negative Yelp. Here's everything that happened. Here's when I called her in the ER. She didn't even answer.
Oh,
just sent an email.
God.
But also, that sucks about your doctor. Dude, you could have died.
Sounds like you could have died, too. A lot of us out there could have died. And I just want to say, if you have any kind of healthcare professional in your life and you don't like them, go to another one, especially an OBGYN. Go to a different one. If you're like, I don't know, that person's weird, leave.
Because your lady parts inside there, they're ready to go off at any time, you guys. Like, they are, they will kill you. They will reach up and kill you. They're angry. Mine are.
They will reach up through your torso and kill
you. Gotta get an animal trainer on those lady parts.
My goodness. And also you were just saying that, you know, during the pandemic, you were traveling with your daughter. You were recently in South Africa.
We went there for a month to film My Spy 2. They made a sequel because it was released during the pandemic and it was a family movie.
Uh-huh.
I watched it and we really lucked out. But the movie takes place in Italy, but they shot all my scenes in South Africa. It was great. I was so nervous to take Ruby down there, but I didn't want to be separated from her that far away. I actually had so much anxiety about that job because of her and like figuring out how to kind of accommodate everybody.
Yeah.
I was trying to keep everybody happy. Her, my husband, and the movie.
Oh, God,
people.
I know this. And you're the one that's working.
Yes. And I learned a big lesson from all of it, which is, well, you can't make everybody happy. And don't try, you know. And if I'm lucky enough to get to work out of the country again next time, I think we're going to proceed where if I take the job, then I will be going by myself. And that's, they'll visit or what, who knows? It's always a different story. I might not ever work again is the other wonderful thing about being an actor. It's like, well, that might be the last job.
So how long were you there?
Oh, just a month.
That's a long time.
Oh. Sorry. The rest of the movie people were there like 2 months. Okay. So it was like, I fought for like less time. Because it was a long time still, but like she got to see lots of animals and like they definitely put us up in the touristy bubble by the water. So like,
right.
Like how much like, sure. are we really experiencing? I don't know. But it was still like never in my wildest dreams would I have imagined that I would have this opportunity.
So you bring the whole family down and then what are they doing during the day? Are you going like, all right, you guys are doing this like tourist fun thing or I don't know, I found a meetup for other kids. I don't know.
That's the other thing in this business. Hardly any other people with little kids. So that was a bummer. They're all, that's why too, when I'm trying to relate like to majority men working on them, like they're very sweet and kind, but they're also like, yeah, I directed movies for 4 months with them. My wife took care of the kids and the,
yep.
you know, I'm like, I get it. And that's a huge sacrifice. I can't believe you had to do that. I'm just feeling a little different, but I am the only one going through these sets of feelings.
I'm going to go straight out and just say, I hear you because I feel, even though there are more and more women around me in stand-up, it still feels rare. It still feels like everyone has like a really interesting situation that they've cobbled together and it's stressful. And I do feel for years before I had a child, I would be drinking after my shows at a bar till 3 a.m. with some guys who are definitely dads.
Yep. I would be working with men multiple times who would be in a scene telling me that their wife just went into labor. Yeah, and then they would be back like a day later after like to have a day with their newborn back to finish the episode. It's just the way it
it's
is.
It's just the way it is.
Anyways, it's been okay. What am I saying? I'm trying to see if a prescription will go through for some like head meds.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, We have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Does your daughter think you're funny? Like, is she aware of your work? I mean, obviously you're out there filming, so I'm sure she had a somewhat like little kid sense of cameras and film and scenes and magic.
Definitely. She is becoming more and more aware, especially because her life is being like dictated by my jobs a little bit these last few years. She says she wants to be an actress, singer, mom when she grows up, which Aww. Is, ah! But I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I can't be like my most fun self because I'm trying to get her to brush her teeth and put on her shoes and like, no, you can't have another snack. That's the rule at nighttime. Don't you do this. You're not hungry. You just have
I know.
So
we
much-
just brushed your teeth.
Exactly. Exactly. That was me last night. I always like hold, I do a last call snack and it works. It always works, like last call snack. It only works as if it's real, last call snack. So like last night, she really was about to fall asleep. And then all of a sudden she fought it off and was like, I'm a starving, you know. And then that was like a tough night because I was like, I'm sorry that you're hungry. She's like, I didn't like my last call snack. I was like, I know, I'm so sorry. We'll have to work on that tomorrow. You know, it's like if you don't hold the line.
Nope, it's over. Oh, yeah, they smell that weakness. It's just like a 9 p.m. audience on a long weekend. They're out for weakness.
Yes. And she's got big feelings, which I love because when the love is big, it's big. And then when the anger is big, it's big. And I am like, I realized this just yesterday. I was like, my whole career has been being in the moment and reacting. Like, that's how I do my best work is just being able to react. And so to be a good mom, I have to fight that and not react.
Yep.
I have to lovingly detach, my therapist said, which is like, oh my God. So she's getting big. I am like getting big and I'm trying to not match it, but I'm shaking inside and I'm such a bad mom. That's all I can think of. I'm such a bad mom. Like I can't nail this. So that's what I'm working on is how to like not meet her big emotions and just step back. But they affect me.
My parents didn't have this kind of line of thinking or with child rearing at all. If I had a big emotion, I'm pretty sure I was met with a big emotion back in my house growing up because that was the way it was.
You weren't allowed big emotions. You were told to, you know, go to your room or maybe even spank. You know, whatever it took, shut it down.
Shut it
down.
And
that was, and hide it, which being this new mom and this new line of thinking and all the love to my mom and dad, because I feel like they did miles and miles, like, better than what their parents had. Like, they definitely took what they were given and did way better. But I will say, I do notice that, like, big emotions around my parents are, there's a little bit of embarrassment there because I'm like, oh, we don't do that. I think my mom would love it if I bawled in front, like now, you know.
Sure.
But I just need to remember that when we're going through this is that she's not going to feel any embarrassment around me about being vulnerable.
There's no shame.
Shame has been removed. We are shameless.
We are shameless. We're not into shame. Which I don't know. On one level too, I'm like, is this kid creeped out by the fact that they're losing their mind and I'm just staring at them going like, I see that you're feeling large feelings. Like, it's creepy.
Yeah, it's creepy because you're not yourself. Like, you're not, again, I'm not reacting like I would if I've had a couple of drinks and she's like, Rob, like, I'm like, what? No. No. I know. It's like, yeah, man, that's tough what you're feeling. There's no consequences either. That's what I'm really struggling with. And I think the consequences will come when her life becomes a little more in the world. Like,
yes,
you know, it's
right.
Like, oh, you're, I'm always like, you're going to be late for preschool.
Yes.
Yeah. She's like, I'm going to be late for preschool. I'm like, I'm going to be late for the Play-Doh. Yes. And teacher Elizabeth is going to be very upset. And then we got there and everybody was late.
Everybody's
and then I was
late.
Like, excuse me, teacher Elizabeth, I'm sorry, but I need Ruby to apologize to you for being late. And she was like, oh, really? I respect that. I was like, yeah, Ruby, we tell her sorry that you're late. You know, it was like, oh, there's your good job trying to do a consequence. That had no effect. All it did is make everybody embarrassed.
And Ruby is like, well, I've got this one figured out. Garbage.
Yeah.
Don't need to do this. Garbage. Did you do any sleep training? There's like all these sort of like different controversial, as it turns out, different methods people use.
Yes. You know, Instagram just fed me someone who was like, this is what you do with your baby. You always leave your baby on your chest at all times. Never put your baby down.
Never.
And then that'll regulate their emotions. And then they'll like, it was such a guilty thing about this is how you do it right. And this is how you're just, this is love. This is what mom, being a mom is. And I started to write like, this is damaging to people. You
know? Yes.
Like, I started to comment and then I posted it and then I went back and I deleted it because it's like not worth it, because if I shame her and her, what she feels is working, it's like telling women my whole life to not wear high heels. It's like, they're going to wear high heels and no one cares what I think. Just let them do what makes them feel good, even if it hurts them so bad on their best nights.
I'm very much into like, if you can. I was someone who could not. So I was like, just do what's right for you. I was like, I don't know. I have no idea what's right for me. If you could let me know, that'd be great. So I needed a plan, basically.
We never had a night nurse or anything. Like, we did the cry it out thing and it was fine. I didn't care. I knew she had a whole bottle of milk in her belly. Like I was breastfeeding, and then to make sure I like gave her, she was a good eater. So I gave her like formula right before bed too. So like I could see it.
Yep.
It worked. It worked for a while, but as soon as something works, they change.
That's
so
true.
You know, like we had some good months. Like I remember hosting dinner parties after that. Like, yeah, come over. She's in bed by 6:37. We'll have some dinner parties and play Catan. Those days are done.
We did you that know? Too. I was like, come, just have beers in my place.
Yeah, she's, it's great. It's a great life. What's everybody complaining about? Cut to, you know, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, no, you know what? You guys can come over, but you all gotta leave by 6. Because we are going to become different people, serious people. We're going to play weird games. We're going to have a structured system. We're going to be stressed out till about 9. And if it goes longer than 9, oh, we're going to be beaten down and sad looking.
And the rest of our week will be ruined.
I don't know how to explain it to my friends. Like, I want them to come over, but I want them to leave no later than 7. Like, they'll always talk and have fun and it'll be loud and really like, there's more party going
That's
on.
Right. Like, So your husband's a writer and you wrote a book with him back in the day.
Yeah.
Have you ever talked about writing a kid's book?
Oh God, no. I think it would be so negative. I think they're so beaten down emotionally. I'm like, there's nothing funny. Parenting is, there's nothing funny to me about it, honestly. Like, I am like he's got his opinions about how to do it. I got my opinion.
Yep.
We all weigh in all the time. Where it's like, it's so serious. I feel like I'm raising a human and I'm doing it wrong. Like, I don't feel like I'm doing it. There's like some moments where I'm like, oh, you nailed this, you know, but mostly I'm like, do better next time. Even with Ruby, I'm like, you know what? I should have been less da da da. And I'm sorry. Like, I do apologize to her because I read you do that. And that's nice to have. Maybe when she's older. But right now, I'm like, yeah, I don't. Would you? I mean,
no.
God.
No, no, no. All right. To end us off, just because we were talking about books, would you like to play like just a fun, ridiculous game?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to read you a title of a celebrity's kid's book, and you are just going to tell me if it's a real one that you can, like, pick up tomorrow or fake.
Okay.
So,
smell that lie.
How about this? Billy the Kid Makes It Big by Dolly Parton. It's about a French bulldog that moves to Nashville with the dreams of becoming a famous musician.
That's a lie. That's not real.
It is real. Dolly Parton wrote that book.
Again.
It's based on her real dog.
Okay. I feel like she would do a different dog. She would be a Pomeranian person or a golden retriever.
See?
Like, not a bulldog.
Dolly Parton has a lot of layers that we don't understand. How about Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses? It's a book about a girl who plays in nature with her father.
False. No way. First of all, by the band Guns N' Roses, like the whole band wrote it. Like, come on. Is it Axl Rose or is it the, you know, was it, what's the guy with the hat? No, false. False.
It's real.
Is it real?
It's real.
The whole band wrote it.
I guess so. It's attributed to the band. Do they know their fans so well that they're like, this is what we're selling at concerts now? Done are the bandanas and the t-shirts.
Yeah, Guns N' Roses, Wilco, all the people going to those shows are rolling in with children.
I went to go see Janet Jackson with some friends a few weeks ago. You know, everyone's got their phone in the air to take videos and pictures. And I can see all around me, everyone's home screen is them hugging their little kid. And I was like, we're all the same.
Yeah. Well, you know who else is all this? Everyone going to that Judy Blume movie. Like, everyone in the lobby was a 40-year-old female, mostly white. And it was, I mean, some of us were like sitting there watching her get her period while we were having hot flashes.
The beginning and the end, all at the same time. Kristen Schaal, you're the best. Thank you so much for joining me after drop-off. A lot of parents who are comics come on and it's always after drop-off. That is like the only time we as parents have. We're like, that's my hour.
Just for sanity, because she's late, I like didn't care. I was like, I'm not even going to look at the clock so I can become crazy. I will just watch you slowly eat that toast because it doesn't matter what I say. We're going to sit there and finish that toast. And it is 8:50.
That is your kid's book. Does not matter what I say by Kristen Schaal.
She's like, stop telling me what to do. I said, that's my job.
I say that all the time. Lucas says, but why is that your job? I go, that is a great question.
I wish it wasn't.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Fear. This was great.
Thank you so much for listening. And you know what? We want to hear from you. Yes. Give us something that you are not looking forward to this summer. Not looking forward to. There's got to be something. You can leave us a voice memo by going to our website, parentingisajokepod.com. There's instructions. Or you know what? You can just email it to us. Send it to info@prettygoodfriends.com. We're going to feature it on our Substack, which is also at parentingisajoke on Substack. Hey, speaking of subscribing, subscribe to everything. Subscribe to this podcast. Please pass it along to a friend. Thank you so much for your amazing reviews. I got to tell you, it means so much to me. It's so nice to read them because I feel more connected to you. Thank you. You know, for updates, you can also follow us on Instagram, on TikTok, on Facebook at Parenting is a Joke, or on Twitter at Parenting Joke. Our episode is produced by me and Julie Smith-Clem. Our editor is Nina Porzucchi. Our sound designer is Tina Toby Mack. Our game writer is Emily Winter. Our theme song and music is by Adira Amram and The Experience. Special thanks to all of the engineers at CityVox. And I'll leave you with Kristen Schaal talking about her favorite sandwich at Wax Paper in Los Angeles.
Yeah, but Ophira, before I forget, I had this up on my computer. Well, you probably might know this. Do you know that here in Los Angeles, you are named after a sandwich?
I do know that.
Do you want me to read the ingredients?
Yes, please.
Okay. You, the Ophira Eisenberg is ham, spicy honey walnut aioli, pickled black garlic plum vinaigrette.
Oh, yeah.
Shaved green onions and spicy roasted walnut crunch on a Bub and Grandma's baguette. That's a brand, Bub and Grandma.
Okay. Got it.
That's you.
So anything that involves the name Eisenberg and then the first ingredient is ham, you're my favorite. You're my favorite. And then just all different kinds of onions, like garlic, yeah, and then onions, and then another onion.
I'll probably eat your sandwich today.
Oh, I love that.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.